an important reminder message is about voices. Many of us have different voices speaking into our lives. Whether it's somebody on the news report you're listening to, whether it's your favorite blogger, vlogger, whoever you're listening to, there's somebody always speaking into your life. Back in 2009, a guy named Chris Young wrote a song called Voices. It's a country song. If you've listened to country at any time, you've probably heard it. He talks about, I hear voices. Well, today, if you hear voices, keep it to yourself. Because they got guys with I Love Me jackets who are going to come and take you away, ha-ha. But he says, I hear voices. Talking about his grandpa's voice, his mama's voice, his daddy's voice, his grandma's voice, telling him things as he grows up, things to help him. So we have voices all over. We also still have the voices of people who told us we were useless, worthless, that we'd never amount to any good, that we were just like so-and-so. Those voices stick with you still. Well, I don't hear. Well, you don't have to hear them, but they're still with you. I call it the septic tank. Something I came up with the other day. We flush it, right? We're supposed to. We're supposed to flush it and try to forget it. The devil always brings it back. A smell. Somebody will say something and it'll set you off. You always will hear a voice. The only voice we need to care about is the voice of God. This is a time we don't need to listen to people. We need to listen to God. We should always listen to God. God knows what's best for your life. Many years ago, somebody told me that they didn't think that it was God's will for us to have stayed in North Carolina. And I said, that's why I didn't ask you. Because it absolutely was God's will for me to do that. Why? Because I wasn't finished. I still needed some work. And I got that in the nearly 2 years that we stayed. Because I needed to grow up. I needed to become a man that people could say things and they'd bounce off my head. Not saying that they didn't hurt, but that the insults sometimes never registered until later. And then that's when I got mad. Wait a minute. They just insulted me. And I stood there. And God said, yes, you did. Well done. Because the other side of me wanted to come back. I got a pretty smart mouth. You can ask my wife. At least one teacher. he told me I did. In so many words. But the reality is, the voices that you hear, the voices that say you're never going to be good enough to match up to the success of so-and-so. Somebody comparing you to your sibling. Somebody comparing you to a cousin, a friend. Somebody comparing you to another preacher. I'm not them and they aren't me, so I don't really care. There was a stark difference, and Angela can tell you, at my aunt's funeral the other day, her preacher and me. Stark difference. And I don't judge him for that. He is who he's supposed to be. And so I am who I'm supposed to be. I'm not perfect. But neither do I want to be Eddie Colgrove. I don't want to be Eddie. I want Eddie to be Eddie. I want to be me. However that looks like. And so when we hear these voices that tell us all these things, well, you need this. I thank God that we don't have live TV. Because while we were even in the eastern side of West Virginia, eastern southern, just above Beckley a little bit, we were seeing political ads for here, for Sherrod Brown, here, way over there. The Voice, they've paid for so many, and they're just going everywhere. The voices are everywhere. They're telling you to vote for this, vote for that, vote for this. You need to pray. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I can't legally tell you who to vote for, and I wouldn't anyhow. That is not my job. That is God's job. And no, God has not spoke to me as of yet, but I do have a peace in my heart about my vote. We have all of this. But it's not just that, the political front right now. It's our lives in general. What are you listening to? Back in the 80s, the group Petra did a song called Computer Brains. Put garbage in, you get garbage out. Whatever you're listening to is what's coming out of here. If you're only listening to things, to people who are just speaking, or even musicians who are writing songs about being harmed and hurt. Sometimes they did that, have to write those to get free. There's a group called Skillet. They do some really good music. And I've actually seen them in concert. But there's one or two songs in particular I cannot listen to because they're written to people who are still struggling with a hurt. And what listening to that hurt over brings up the septic tank. I don't try to. It's just like there's an arm that reaches out of my brain and grabs back and says, here, look at this waste. Don't you feel bad? Anybody else ever experienced something like that? You listen to a song and it throws you right back. A lot of people deal with that. And they don't realize that what you're listening to matters. That's why I say it doesn't matter if it's a preacher. If all they're ever preaching on is money, just stop. Just stop. If they cannot tell you about God's love and about God's mercy, they're missing the number one call. That's what we're all supposed to do. It's not just preachers that are supposed to be going out and telling people about God's love. But we're supposed to be telling them, I believe, as St. Francis of Assisi said, he said, preach always, and if necessary, use words. Let your life be the epistle that they see. Let them see you do good. Not that you go out and say, hey, y'all just see what I did? I did it. I'm doing this. You know what? God knows exactly who did what. And if you get some reward, that's all you get. I don't really care for man's reward. Oh, good job. Well done. Okay, good moment's gone. You stand before the Lord, I believe what God's going to be like. He's going to be like that daddy out in the stands, and his son just scored the winning touchdown. That's my boy. He's going to be proud of you for the things you do because you listen to his voice. If I had listened to everybody's voice for my life, I would have never joined the Marines. I would have just kept waiting and waiting for the Union to call me. But not knowing yet that I didn't know how to really listen to God, and that God had said, you're not going that route, son. You're going somewhere else. You're going to learn. You're going to do things. And I did. And I'm thankful and I'm grateful for that. Because it has made me who I am today. But it helped build up things that were torn down by other voices. Because God said, you're my son, and I'm proud of you. That's what God tells us. You need to listen. But God will speak, but we have to quit listening. He's not the screaming voice. If all you're ever putting in is garbage, I don't listen to straight up Christian music, period. I got away from that, and I think you ought to. I don't care what you think. I grew up with that self-righteous attitude, and it didn't do me any good. Because I listened to it in the store. I listened to it in my friend's car. Oh, you're just getting the garbage. It ain't all garbage. I ain't saying that I listened to every song that Ozzy ever did. But if you ever sat down and actually listened to Crazy Train, it's talking about learning to love, putting away our hate. Now, Ozzy is one of the worst human beings on the planet. But whoever wrote that song understood that man had a platform to tell people to quit judging each other, quit killing each other. But no, we want to kill each other. We want to judge each other. That's not our job. It's not my job to judge you or to penalize you for that. I'm not supposed to have to bring around the punishment. You're not my child. You're God's. God brings around the punishment. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's more than one time I've gotten my hand slapped, or I got swift kick in the backside from God. Or even got my foot shut in the door because I was trying to weasel that door open. But if we listen to what people are saying, again, that's just one song there. I'm not saying, oh, you need to go out and just listen to Ozzy Osbourne. That's not what I said. One song does not justify the life that the man led. But that song, I'm not going to go, oh, I can't listen to that. Oh, Balaam listened to an ass. Nobody's got an argument with that. By the way, did you know, Balaam was not a prophet of God. Oh, you're wrong there, Pastor. Oh, no, he wasn't. He was about 300 years old. He had been around. He was a prophet to whoever would pay him. Why do you think he was going out to curse the people of God? And God said, no, I wouldn't do that. Balaam says, I'm going out there. Do you know what they're paying me to do this? God said, don't do it. Here's old Balaam riding his donkey, and that donkey gets to go across that bridge, slams it, pins his legs in up against them rocks, and Balaam starts beating him. And the donkey turns around and says, why are you doing this? If God has to use a dumb animal to speak to you, and I cleaned that up because there was a phrase I could have used, but sometimes he uses them to tell you, just because you think you know what you're doing doesn't mean you do. He was doing something he thought was good. Balaam was just a prophet for hire. He was a soothsayer. That's all he really was. They have found his name historically. But sometimes it takes somebody like that to say, why are we killing each other? I would ask you, why did we go to Vietnam? Just so we could walk away in 1975. Why did we go to Afghanistan just so we could walk away in 2020? The exact same way. Thousands and thousands of people were killed and maimed. Why? For democracy. No, it wasn't. We could have had Bin Laden a long time ago. And I don't have to get on any conspiracy theories. Because the reality is the facts don't line up. I know people, besides my family, who were there, and they say things didn't line up. We have to turn our blind eye to pedophiles while they're raping a little boy. And I will tell you this, I know a few who didn't do it anymore. Judgment found them. Whatever you're listening to, oh, but I like Celine Dion. You don't understand, Pastor. I like Celine Dion. My heart will go on, Lord. So, You can listen to it. I don't care. I like Kansas. They're not a Christian group. But out of them came Carry On Wayward Son, Dust in the Wind, Hold On. And out of that came Carrie Livgren, who wrote those songs, who became a Christian because he was searching for God. He looked everywhere else, and then, I forget, who was it we were talking about last night? Somebody, they said, they searched, oh, it was Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid and Carrie Livgren both, they were searching for something, the meaning of their life, and they started reading. They read the Quran, they read all the Tao books, they read everything by Confucius. They were trying to find God, and both of them, when they said they reread the Bible, we knew it was real. And they turned their lives over to God. That's why you're seeing a change in what Dennis Quaid does in the movies. It's why he's portraying Reagan. It's why he's been in several Christian movies. But Carrie Livgren kept moving on and kept moving on, and he started writing songs, even so to the point of that he got one of the what we call the most satanic singers of all hard rock times, Ronnie James Dio, to sing about how Satan is a deceiver and that we're supposed to serve the King of Kings. How do you do that? It's interesting. But if we're listening to music that all it's doing is stirring up anger and hatred, is, like I said, the song by Skillet that I'm thinking of is a good song for somebody who's freshly walking in that. Somebody who's at incarceration, who's hurt, who's there because all the other groups are there for violence and hatred. And there's Skillet. Hey, we know what it's like. Let me tell you, let me sing this song. And so people are getting the word preached to them. Years ago, Stryper toured with Ozzy Osbourne and with Ozfest. And people just, all they came unglued. Our purpose is not to preach to the saved. It is to preach to those who are lost. And they aren't sitting in churches. They are out there. They're at Ozfest. They're at incarceration. And they got railed on by the body of Christ. Well, the influence. Yeah, if I'm not strong enough of a believer to go in there and preach, just as Paul walked into the Acropolis and with all the gods that they had all the way around that thing, and there on one column, there was nothing. And it says, to the unknown God. Most of us would have just said, oh no, I can't preach here. I'm surrounded by all the demonic powers. Do you know who you are? You are more than enough. You are more than all the demons in hell. Because you have Christ. And he said, instead of saying, getting religious, said, I'm not even going to bring that up. Paul says, I want to talk to you about that one. The unknown God. They were afraid to offend anybody, folks. That's the reality. They had them all. He took an opportunity and he used it. Because he wasn't listening to what people said about him. We look at somebody and say, oh, I can't share, I can't go talk to them. I don't want to be seen talking to them. They're a pedophile. I got problems with that too. We all do. But Jesus died for them too. So you might want to check your attitude at the door. Because when you get to the gates of heaven and God says, I'm going to use Pat. Pat, I told you to talk to that guy. But Jesus, do you know what kind of man he was? What is he was accused of? And God says, Pat, his wife lied. He didn't touch that child. He caught her cheating. And to save face, she slandered his name. Do you really want to be the one standing there before God saying why you didn't tell somebody about him? Because you heard the voices of everybody judging you? And I happen to know Pat don't give a rip about what people think about him. Been around a man long enough. He really don't. He's going to tell you what he thinks, whether you like it or not. So he doesn't care about the voices. Why do we care about what people are thinking about us? I mean, some of the rumors I've heard about what we do in here. I haven't heard we got snakes yet. But you see, some of the things you're dealing with. What are some of the things you're dealing with? What are you listening to? Well, if you're only ever listening to messages that are fluffy, woo, you know, we're going to tra-la-la-la-la-la-la, that never actually hit home and say, you know, you need to examine your own life. Look deep inside. What's going on in you? Oh, but I know better than that, Lord. Look at the messages I listen to. Take me back to the hellfire and brimstone, please. I'd rather know that my life is getting straightened up than to know, ooh, look at all the roses. Look at all the little pretty flowers. Not one time did Jesus ever talk to people and let them off easy. Rich man comes to him and says, Jesus, I want to follow you. He says, good, you're called. Can you imagine being called to follow Jesus? He says, you come follow me. The man says, whoa, back up. I got a few too many things. I got too much money to do this. Because Jesus just told you to sell everything you've got and give it to the poor. He was called to be a disciple, not just a mere follower. But Jesus knew many were called, but few were chosen. But that example right there gave us of how people hold on to things, but they can't let it go. What if God requires you to let go what you are noted for? And you can never touch it again. Would you follow him? Would you hear his voice? Can you imagine being in the presence of the Son of God on the earth? A man who walks on the water. A man who walks into an area so demonically possessed, people live in fear. Men are filled with so many demons, herds of swine kill themselves. I think most pigs are demon possessed anyhow. Anybody that ever had to work with them thinks that. They got a mind of their own. But he walks in and these men come flying up to him twice. Men came to him. Why have you come? Our time is not yet. Why have you come to judge us? Can you imagine being the disciples? We just watched Jesus walk on the water. And we walk into this community here that this guy, he's naked for starters. Bound in chains. They got chains on him, but they can't control him. So he's got all these broken chains all over him. And they're terrified of him. And Jesus walks up and the man falls at his feet. Dude, that is power. That is awesome. But Jesus said, you can never go back to fishing, Peter. You'll never be known as a fisherman again. But you will be known as a fisher of men. What if God required that? Would you do it? Would you give up worldly success to hear the voice of God? Or are you going to keep listening to the voices that are just fueling the septic tank? They keep backing it up. People that fuel your hate. Oh, I just don't like those people. God doesn't like them either. He loves them. I do not like Kamala Harris or Joe Biden. I love them. Because they're going to die, and if they without Jesus Christ, they're going to hell for eternity. I do not like what they stand for. Crying out loud, I don't like half of what our politicians stand for. Speaking out both sides of their mouth, most of them. But if you understand politics, that's why when Jesus comes back to rule and reign, there will be no politics. It's a single party. Him. But the voices that we hear telling us things that fuel certain songs, like I said, they just rile me up. I don't know why. I love the music. I love the music, but the problem is you may not be listening to the words, but the words are getting into you. And that's what I found, especially with certain particular songs about being sick. Some of you may know. The in the beginning of that song is not it's the F-bomb. 10 times in a row. Why? To be offensive. That's its only point. I'm not offended at the word. Okay, you understand this. I don't get offended like that. Because sometimes you do have to build up a shell. You can't let everything hit you and affect you like that. Because then you'll never get up and fight. That is why in every boot camp, but I can only speak for Marine boot camp, they tore us down emotionally. They all tried to tear you down to a point where you are unoffended at somebody calling you a racial name. We had one young man, he was born with something was wrong with his soft spot on his head. So it wasn't a soft spot, he had a ridge that looked like a mohawk. And when they cut it out, he looked like a Brachiosaurus, the dinosaur that had the big thing on top of his head. They called him Dinosaur Boy. You know what that did to him? It made him run faster. It made him run harder. It made him try harder. And he graduated honor student or honor Marine because he allowed it to push him. His name was Weisbrot. He was just a little bit taller than me, actually skinnier than me. But he tried harder. And he didn't let it affect him. But we are listening to the wrong things. I remember a couple weeks ago, we had some 70s country come on one of the PlayStations. Like, I ain't heard that song, I bet, in almost 50 years. It'd been a long time since I'd heard it. And yes, I know it made me 4. But I thought, you know what? I kind of threw me back to the old nostalgic days. And then, so I selected a station for 70s country. I'm going to tell you right now, by the end of the day, I wanted to jump out of the truck while it was still going down the road. My truck was leaving me. They were so sad. It was all about drinking, cheating. I have no problem with country music changing. You know, if you play it backwards, your wife comes back, your car, truck, you know, all that. But I like country music. But I pick and choose what I'm listening to. I don't want to hear them old drinking, cheating songs. I lived that life when I was a child. Why do I want to go back? That's why my parents don't want anything to do with it. They lived that life. All their friends were living that life. He said, I don't want to go back. I don't want to hear. I don't want to be filled with that garbage because that garbage is screaming over the truth of God's word. Oh, your wife's cheating on you. She's an hour late. No, over the years, I've come to realize my wife just isn't good with time management sometimes. But she's working. So if I'm at home getting myself all worked up, no, I know. She tells me 6:15. It'll be closer to 7. But I've just come to that realization. If she tells me to do something, and I don't get it done for 6 months, she tells me again. When are you going to do that? Oh, I'll get on it next week. Next week rolls around, something else took priority. But eventually I do get to some of this stuff. But we can't sit there and accuse each other of having affairs because they didn't get what I said done or they weren't home at such and such a time. You need to quit listening to those voices that are bringing false accusations against your spouse, against your... Do you know what they're saying about you? They're talking about you behind your back. Well, maybe they are. Who cares? People talk about me all the time. You know, they get quiet when I walk up. Huh. What are we talking about? The voices we're listening to determine our actions. They determine how far we're going to trust God. Now, I do want to read something to you today. I told you, we're not supposed to be listening to David Draiman. We're not supposed to be listening to Ozzy Osbourne's voice. We're not supposed to be listening to Kenneth Copeland's voice for our life. Kenneth Copeland don't know you from Adam and don't care. I'm just going to put it that way. Eddie Colgrove may not know you and he doesn't care. But I know he would love you. Just like I don't know most of his people, so I don't care. But if I had an opportunity to speak life into their lives and God told me to, absolutely. I've prayed with people in front of the bank. I don't know why. They started telling me their story. And I'm like, it's a good time to pray. Let's pray. And we're standing there in front of the bank praying. Well, they're out there drinking a beer in the beer garden across the road. We're praying. I don't care. Because God told me to pray. I don't know who that person was, where they're from. I don't know, but they got prayed for. And I believe God moved in their life. When you tell somebody to pray, you're going to pray for them, do it. All right. Deuteronomy 28:1 says, "Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God." The King James uses hearken. Listen. It means diligently obey. See, people think that he wants to find us diligently doing what he told us to do. They think it means I have to work all the time. I got to be preaching 24/7, bless God, 365 days a year, 52 weeks a year. That is not what God said, ladies and gentlemen. That is a lie from the pit of hell to wear preachers out. Oh, I'm doing the work of God. I'm never home anymore. And yet your child's on drugs and you want to know why. Mamas and papas, your babies do need you. They need you to hear them. And they need you to speak into their lives. And if you're just always telling everybody else about how God loves them and you're not speaking with them, it's not saying your kids are never going to face a trouble. I'm proud of my boys. But I never put you guys over them. God gave me that family first. He gave me her first, them second, you third. It's not saying that if there was something that just blew up in your lap, because I've been there with a lot of you for some really bad things. It's not saying that I won't be there. It's saying, you ain't calling me up at 2 a.m. whining about how you disobeyed God for the last 6 years that I've been preaching to you, and all of a sudden I'm going to come running to your house. No. I'm telling you today, listen to the voice of the Lord and obey it. To observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today. Let's get something straight. This isn't about going back to legalism or the law. This is about the commands. Anything God tells you is a commandment. If he said to love, that's a commandment. If he said stand up, that's a commandment. If he said take one step to the left and you did not do it, and the lamp above your head fell and took your brains out, that was a commandment and you disobeyed. But let's carry on. I command you today that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. If we obey. And all these blessings, this is part of the wedding ceremony I do. This is part of the blessing that I pronounce over a new couple. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Did you notice he never said, I will raise you up to take them out? He said, they will flee before your face. You may be standing there thinking that you're Mighty Mouse standing there, and you turn around and the Lion of Judah is standing behind you. That's why they left. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. When God tells you to do something, you do it. God says, step to the left, you step to the left. You don't stand there and argue. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to give to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season. Why do you think God gave us the rain? It didn't take the hurricane to give it. We asked, but the hurricane was coming. But we simply asked God for the rain. And again, come gently. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right, to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. When you heed the voices of the words of the other voices that you're hearing, you are serving the other God. You, when you hear a song, and I have to be very careful again, when I hear a song come on, I'm like, whoop, nope, I know what I'm feeling. I feel a rush of adrenaline. I feel my breathing get a little more sped up, and I can just feel the coursing. It's like, what is that song doing? Because it's stirring hatred. I'm not supposed to hate anybody. I don't want to have to rip the lips off of somebody. But that's what I feel like doing when I hear certain songs. My enemy is not flesh and blood. My enemy is a spirit that is out to control things. That is why I pray for those who are delivering drugs. I pray for those who are making it. Pray for those who are using it. Why? Because it's a spirit they need free from. I pray for the body of Christ because self-righteousness is a spirit too. I pray for all people. That's why I said, I don't hate Joe Biden. I don't hate Kamala Harris. I don't hate Taylor Swift. I don't hate these people. I pray for them because without Jesus, their lives are meaningless. They have manipulated and they followed the ways. Some of them maybe have literally sold their souls. But we're to pray for them. Not judge them. Not bring condemnation into their lives. The people that come into our church that are hurt and they're wounded, we're to pray for them. Not kick them while they're down. Not stomp on them. Well, bless God, ain't you heard what Pastor said? You've been here 2 weeks. Why ain't you changed? Well, you've been here 20 years. But when we go after, we quit listening to the voice of the Lord, and we go after those things, and we bring accusations against people, we're not listening to the voice of God. We're listening to those voices, and we're serving those gods. I chose to not cut a tree down. That was it. God told me to cut it down. I chose not to. Tree broke my back. That simple. But in all of that, God's love was still for me, and he spoke to me and said, you got to get up. And I made the move to get up, and I'm standing, and that tree is still bouncing. I believe the next one would have broke it completely and paralyzed me. Why? Because I never knew you could, at least at this age, I'm not flexible anymore. But you can kiss the ground between your knees. But that's God's mercy. God's mercy comes into play when we've wronged. So throw yourself on God's mercy, but you've got to give it too. That's why I give mercy. You mess up, I'm not crucifying you. I'm going to give you God's mercy. I don't want to follow after these other gods. I'm not God. I am a servant. And if I do the things of God, Jesus said, I don't call you a servant if you obey. I call you my friend. We can't just sing the song, I'm a friend of God, and go out and act like the devil outside. Coming in here and singing, I'm a friend of God, and act like the devil out there doesn't make you a friend of God. Going out there and obeying the voice of the Lord to sow mercy, to sow love, compassion, that's the will of God for everybody's life. Let's stand. For the next couple weeks, you're going to be getting inundated with voices. They're going to bring in all, most of them I'm finding nowadays are starting to bring more accusations. Do not listen. There is not one candidate out there that is innocent. Pretty much. I actually spoke to a candidate a couple years ago. They were running for an office, and they just, all they could do was badmouth this person because their family had money. That was all they could badmouth. When I get there, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, exactly what you're going to do is exactly the same thing that person is doing. You're going to be working on the budget. You're going to be doing this. You're going to be doing that. Your little tirades into this aren't going to go anywhere. Why? And by the way, this candidate was working on shutting down strip clubs and things. And there were some issues where they run into where transgender drag queens were going in and they were stripping with kids. This candidate shut that down. So if this candidate gets an office where they actually have a job besides just chasing their own personal vendettas, they aren't going to be able to do their vendettas. But with not being a candidate, this person was able to actually pursue something I believe God put on their heart, a job God created for them. But they thought they had to go to be an office. Do you understand? You as a believer wield more power on the planet of Earth than the entire Supreme Court. There's not a politician who can stand against the power of God. Why do we think that, well, I'll get into office and I'll change it? Our war on the floor changes things. If we got a problem in the school, bring it here. Bring it here first. We don't wage war with the flesh and blood and with the board and the county. We wage war with the spirits that are controlling this thing. I'd rather go deal with the real problem. But, you know, a lot of us like to deal with, let's just get you cleaned up a little bit. You know, I know you just met Jesus. Oh. Don't feel too bad, Kayla. I've done it too. I just thought, ooh, brown out. But when we pray, we have authority over these things. I want you to spend your time praying. Yeah, there's routes we have to take. I get that. But you need to go after the spiritual problems first. And then you'd be amazed how you just walk right in. Huh, that was easier than I thought it was going to be. Why? Because the strong man's been bound. Maybe I need to teach about that strong man again. So let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you and I praise you, Lord God. Lord, our desire is to hear your voice and obey it diligently, Lord, that when you tell us to step to the left or the right, we step to the left or the right. Lord God, when you tell us to stop, we stop. When you tell us to march, we march. Lord God, I pray we all hear your voice above the screaming of the world, above the preachings through music, through the preachings of politicians, through the preachings of anybody who has a talk show, Lord God. Father, we follow your voice, not theirs. Lord, I thank you that you're moving. Father, people that have been struggling with finding their purpose, finding what they're supposed to be doing, Lord God, will suddenly know, this is my purpose. This is my call. And I've been struggling because I was listening to outside influences instead of the sweet Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that says, I've already made the way. You've been doing it. Here's where you need to go. Here's what you need to do. Lord, help us all to hear that voice. Lord, help us to tune out the distractions of the world and to listen to you. Father, I thank you for your people. And I bless these people, Lord God. I bless them as they go in. I bless them as they go out. Father, may your word come alive in their hearts. May they burn inside with your truth, with your revelation for their life. In Jesus' name, amen.